Have you good to have you with us this morning? And if you may be just tuning in, it's good to have you tuning in. And we hope that you got in on the Sunday school lesson this morning. It was a good one as always. Brother Eric did a good job, and you know he was talking about the temptations that we are faced with, and how that Jesus Himself was faced with those things, and he was able to fight it off, and he was able to. To repel the devil because falling back upon the word of God. And so we want to look at something today. We want you to turn your Bibles, if you would, to Ephesians chapter number 5. Now, many times... this scripture I'm reading is used to counsel husbands and wives and marriages and different things along those lines, and to preach sometimes about marriages. But today I want to focus upon Christ and the church. He uses his example for husbands and wives, but I want to focus upon Christ and his love for the church. You know, Brother Eric was talking about how we prevent ourselves from being overtaken by the devil and succumbed by the devil. Jesus had some things available to him, but he left us something that he didn't have at that time to enable us to even be able to battle the devil as well. Three things that the Lord left us: the Holy Spirit, those of us who are saved, the Holy Spirit, His written word, which He used, and the church. And the church was given to us to help us and give us an extra help in battling with issues as we have to face them. And the amazing thing is, in the book of Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, we'll look at in a little bit, but the Bible says as we get closer to the day of His coming, evil's going to get worse, and we need the church even worse than ever. And let me say something, that it's nice when you are quarantined or when you're sick and unable to attend the house of God. It's nice to be able to virtually watch the services. I've done it myself. But it is no substitute for attending and assembling in the house of God. When you get where you can assemble in the house of God, you ought to assemble yourself in the house of God. Let's look at some things in the church just a moment, if you would. Begin reading with me, if you would, in verse number 22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is head of the church, and He is Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it, of water by the word, that He might present it to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own body. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. No man ever yet hateth his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of His body, of His flesh, of His bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they too shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Now, in the scripture, we find a couple things about Christ and the church. If you look back,
Notice that Christ is head of the church. Notice that he is, verse 23, Savior of the church. 25, he is lover of the church. 25, he sacrificed for the church. He owns the church in verse 27. And that he is a caretaker in verse 29 of this church. And so therefore, he watches over it. And we have a union and of the church that he brings. Now, what we've done is we, in the Laodicean church, is going to lose focus upon what the church is about. They're going to lose their priority. They're going to lose their purpose. Now, let me say this. The church is not a recreational center for sinners. That's not what God ever intended. People said, well, what we'll do is we'll build all these recreational things and we'll invite sinners and we'll that way we'll win them, Lord. That was never taught to be part of the church. Also, I'll probably anger some people, but the church is not a fast food restaurant. It's a place where you come together and be able to worship God. When you study what they did in the New Testament church, they sung not only to glorify God, but to edify themselves. Those of you that's not attending, you miss out on the song service. You, therefore, you can't join and you can't be part of the song service. And those songs are to edify us. How many times has God stirred you with a song that's been sung? And so we want to you to understand the importance of the church. Turn with me just a moment. Now, I'm not going to go into great depth, but I want to point out a few things real quickly about this church. Look, first place mentioned in the New Testament, Matthew chapter 16. And by the way, 115 times it's mentioned in the Bible, and 111 of them is referring to Christ's assembly. Now, it talks about a local assembly being a church, such as Jordan Baptist Church here. When they talk about the churches in Burnside, they don't say the church of Burnside, because we are each individual bodies. And so therefore, we have Jordan Baptist Church of Burnside. And each of us has our own identity. Now, the Bible does refer in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 23 of the church in heaven as being the church of the firstborn. And when we get there, there'll be a marriage supper of the bride unto the Lord. And we'll talk about that some other time, but not today. Look, if you would, in Matthew, and notice verse number 16 of chapter 16. It says, and Simon Peter answered the Lord. Remember, he asked, who do men say that I am? And then he asked who Peter said that he was. And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on the earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt loose on the earth shall be loose in heaven. Now, first of all, I want you to note a couple things about the church. Number one, it was built by Jesus. I will build. And it was built upon Jesus. The rock that Jesus is talking about is not Peter, it's him, that he is the Christ, the Son of living God. Not only that, but the church did not exist until Jesus came. The church is not Israel. The church is another entity that Christ himself started. The church belongs to Christ. He said, I will build my church. It belongs to Christ. He is the sole head of the church. He is the sole lawgiver of the church. The church has no authority to make laws within itself We obey the laws that God, Jesus, has set forth for us. He is the sole lawgiver of the church. Also, in these scriptures, we find that the church will exist for all generations. Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, there will be churches that will fall by the wayside. There will be people within churches fall by the wayside. The love of many will wax cold, and there will be a great falling away. And I think we're seeing that falling away as we speak. But the church will exist. The gates of hell will not prevail against it. And Jesus asked the question, will I find faith when I return? And he will. He'll find faith. There'll be some that will be saved. It is also the only institution that Jesus gave the keys to heaven to. And he gave them there in verse number 19. Now, when did it begin? Well, here we're also given the fact that he said he would build his church. Now, many denominations believe that it began on the day of Pentecost. But the Bible doesn't have one scripture that teaches that it started on the day of Pentecost. Jesus said he would build his church, and in Matthew 18, 17, he talks about the discipline of the church. He said, tell it to the church. If it didn't exist, what are you going to tell it to? And so Jesus began his church. And so we find what happened was those that were saved on day Pentecost was added to the church. And the Holy Ghost was given not to start the church, but to empower the church. Jesus is the chief cornerstone of the church. The apostles was used after the church was started by Jesus to take and help organize and help write the epistles to the church and so forth, and go out there and establish churches, and that's what they did. And so we are to carry that out. Now, if you look in the book of Titus real quickly, Paul wrote to Titus, and it's one of the pastoral epistles that Paul wrote, Timothy and Titus, and we find several things about how we ought to behave ourselves in the house of God. And so here we find that Titus, writing in Titus, there's some things that every church needs. Number one, it needs a proper gospel. The first three verses, Paul's talking about that we have eternal life. Anyone who receives the gospel by faith receives eternal life. Now, our gospel is this, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. There is no other gospel. We preach the gospel of Christ. And so, therefore, being a church, we not only preach the gospel, and it's got to be the proper gospel of Christ, the two ordinances we have also points back to the gospel of Jesus Christ. When we baptize somebody, it's a picture of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Whenever we take the Lord's Supper, we do a memorial to the death of Christ Jesus, looking forward to him coming back again. And so what we do as a church is we have to preach a proper gospel. And we have to compare scripture with scripture. And there is only one proper gospel. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and not yourself, is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. When we believe the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, by faith, and we take his word as truth, and we believe it in our heart, through God's grace, we are made a child of God. And being made a child of God, we are given eternal life. And nothing takes that life away. And so therefore, we preach that. Now, the book of Galatians says, anyone that preaches any other gospel is to be accursed. And by the way, you'll find when people begin to change the gospels, they also not only pervert gospels, but they pervert the ordinances of the church. That's why they begin to teach so many things about different ones that perverts the gospel. They pervert the ordinances as well and try to make them say something they don't. Also, if you look in Titus verses 5 through 9, he also talks about the proper leadership of the church. Now, Timothy deals with pastors, deacons, bishops, elders and bishops and pastors. The proper leadership is that God has ordained a pastor to lead the church. Now, let me say this. Now, I'll make people mad in some places as well. But he did not ordain deacon boards to oversee the pastor. Neither did he do a hierarchy to oversee the pastor. He put a leadership, and there's a proper leadership in the church. And the church and the Bible defines how and what the pastor is to do and how it is to lead the church. And so therefore, we have that in Titus that Paul dealt with as well. Also, in chapter 2 and verse 1, he reminds us that we have to have proper doctrine. We have to compare Scripture with Scripture in relation of sin, with relation of Christ, in relation of ourselves, and all kinds of things. But what we do is we study the Word of God to rightly divide the Word of God, and we preach from the church proper doctrine, which is sound doctrine. The word sound has an idea of spiritual healthy doctrine, things that will make you healthy. In other words, you need to eat something that will help you and feed you and put muscle upon you. Sometimes I used to get some of these boys. They'd go and they'd want to play ball, and they want to eat a bunch of junk all the time or eat like a bird. I said, you have no strength. Food equals energy. But eat the right type of energy, and that will help build your body and build your strength. Same way applies through the church. What we're giving is, we have to have proper doctrine. And therefore, that proper doctrine is what we feed the church through the Word of God, and it's called sound doctrine. Now, in the Bible, and Paul also warns us in the latter days, a lot of people don't want sound doctrine. They go to places where they just have a feel-good religion, and everybody makes them feel good. But that's not what sound doctrine does. Somebody said, I don't like broccoli. Well, there's a lot of things that when I was growing up, I didn't like, but I kept eating because I thought they were good for me. And I would eat them anyway. And then I learned to like them after I eat them for a while. And it's amazing what you can learn to like. Not only that, and so therefore we preach the whole counsel of God. We don't just cherry pick little ideas here or a little verse here or there. We compare verses, scripture with scripture, and therefore we try to preach the whole counsel of God. And there's many things that we won't know, but we study to try to understand those things. And we study to try to make sure that we stay within the doctrine taught in the Bible. Not only that, but also in chapter 2, starting with verse 2, all the way down to verse 12, he reminds us that we have to have, if we're going to have a church, we have to have proper living. He tells us how aged men ought to live, how young men ought to live, how aged women ought to live, how young women ought to live. And he begins to go and he begins to let us understand that it takes proper living. Then also, on in chapter 3, he reminds us that there's proper discipline that we have to do. Now, why is a church so important? Before I get into something that I want to share with you. Well, number one, it's the only institute today that Jesus is building. He is building the institute of the church. And so therefore, he tells us in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, that it is a pillar and ground of the truth. If you want to find truth, don't turn your TV on to ABC, NBC, or CBS, or Fox News. What you do is you turn into the Word of God, and there you find truth. It's a pillar and ground of the truth. The church should be a place that preaches truth. Thy word is truth, the truth shall set them free. Not only that, 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, same verse, refers to the church as a house of God. Why do I want to come? Because I can feel the presence of God in the house of God. Why do I not want to just bring a bunch of stuff into the house of God? Because it's his house. I want to reverence his house. I want to keep it clean. I want to come with the right attitude. And not only that, in Revelation chapter 1, where he deals with the seven churches, John reminds us that Jesus is walking around in the midst of the churches. And so if we want to find Jesus, not that he can't speak to you in your house, but the Bible says he walks around in the midst of the churches. I tell you what, when I come to church, I have a lot better chance of feeling the presence of Jesus here than I do in Walmart and Kmart and other places down the road. Amen? Now, it's amazing to me how many people will skip church, but yet Kroger and Walmart and them things, they'll be there all the time going in and out. I have a lot better chance of feeling the presence of God here. Amen? Because this is his house. And this is where Jesus, not only that, but the seven churches in chapter 2 and 3 of Revelation also reminds us that in the churches is where the Holy Spirit speaks. Then those that hear his voice, let them hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. In other words, that's why it's important to come, to let the Spirit of God speak to us. Not only that, but also the church is the recipient of the Great Commission to go into all the world and preach the gospel. We have the responsibility to preach the gospel. I'm talking to one missionary now to set a time for him to come. We've had many, many missionaries come through here. I love to have missionaries through. I love to take on new missionaries. I love to be able to support more missions. And because the church, it has been given the Great Commission, and it is a headquarters for missions. It is where missions are sent out. Not only that, but it is a center for Christian discipline. You know why a lot of people don't like to come to church that calls themselves Christians? Because the church should be a place of discipline as well. We talked about Wednesday night, the love of a father. Paul, for the Corinthian church, to love them, he had to discipline them at certain times. He had to tell them things and do things to them that they didn't like. But he did it for their own good because he loved them. It is also the place, the Bible teaches us in Acts, it is a place that we are to exercise our spiritual gifts. And each of you have been given gifts. If you're saved, God has given you a gift. You ought to utilize it in church. I know some people said, preacher, I feel I got this gift. Well, come to church and utilize it for the Lord. Amen? You ought to be able to utilize your gift. Many of you have all different types of gifts. And the Bible says that every one of us receives something from the Lord, a gift of God, that we can use in his service some way. It is also the place of training up Christians. We need training. As Brother Eric was talking about, fighting the devil, how can you fight the devil if you don't know what his word says? The word is the greatest weapon we have against the devil. And therefore, that's a shield that we use. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence in things not seen. And so therefore, faith is what we get from the word of God. That's why it's important that we have Sunday school. People says, why do we have Sunday school? Because that is where we learn the word of God. And listen, we never get too old to learn. I learn all the time. I'm still learning. I've enjoyed our Sunday school class, Brother Eric. I've enjoyed sitting and listening to you. I mean, I get a blessing every time you teach it. And I just sit here and I'm just like a sponge. I try to absorb everything you say. And the reason why is because we never get too old to learn. And the more we learn, the better we are. And so therefore, it's a place where we come together. We train Christians. It is also a place where we come and we ordain missionaries. To go out, and we support missionaries as they go out. It's a place for Christian service and prayer. It's the institution that God is to be glorified in. And it also was purchased with the blood of Jesus. Now turn, if you would, to the book of Hebrews real quickly in chapter 10. In chapter 10 and chapter 13, it gives us several reasons why we are to be faithful to the house of God. Look if you would in chapter 10. In verse 23. Let us hold fast the confession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. Listen, you need the church, you need to come to church to be steadfast. Keep you from wavering, keep you from falling. People can tell me what they want to, but you can't stay away from the church and stay strong in the Lord and steadfast in the Lord. If Jesus loved the church and you love Jesus, then you ought to love the church too. The church ought to be a part of you. It ought to be a great help to you. It ought to be a minister to you. You see, Jesus fought the devil with the word. If you notice in chapter 4 in Luke and Matthew, when Jesus was baptized, he went into the wilderness, but the Spirit came upon him. And he had the Spirit, and he also had the Word of God. But what he did for us is we not only have the Spirit, we not only have the Word of God to fight the devil, but we have the church. And the church has been given to us to help prepare us for the battles of this life. Look, if you would, in chapter 10 of Hebrews again. Look back. Not only do we have to be steadfast, but look in verse 24. He says, and let us consider one another provoke unto love and to good works. That's what we do in fellowshipping with one another. We come and we attend church, and we come and we need to fellowship one with another. Because what happens is, different times, people do certain things that provokes love in us. Did you ever have something going on in your life and you needed something, somebody in church just gave it to you? Or somebody come up and said something to you? I don't mean to embarrass, but Cody, the other day, you sent me a little message, and that blessed my heart. I just want you to know that, son. You blessed my heart. And it was it's a blessing, and I needed it at that time. And you just don't know. I needed that. I was just feeling all down and had a rough day, and I just felt really rough, and I got that, and it just stirred my heart. And so you never know when just a word can encourage somebody. And we need to fellowship one with another. We need the fellowship of the church. Jesus knew that. That's why he loved the church and he gave himself for the church, that we could have the church as well as having the Spirit, not as well as having the Word. We've got the church. We got a bunch of saved sinners, saved by the grace of God, that all of us are going to heaven the same way with the same purpose, to glorify the one that saved us. Not only that, but look on, if you would, in verse 25. He says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as ye see the what? Do you think the day of Jesus is approaching? I do. I believe he's getting ready to do something. Man, there's just a lot of things strange in the air, and a lot of things happening. And I can tell something going on with the church. And I can tell people, I see them falling away. I see the love of many waxing cold. I've talked to some preachers, they can't even have church anymore because they can't get anybody to show up for the church services. I thought, how sad. But he says the responsibility to be faithful to the house of God. Why? Look in verse 25 again. He says, as a matter of some exhorting one another, so much more as you see the day approaching. What day is that? That's the evil day that he's told us we're going to have to face. In the last days, perilous times. Listen, if you love those little kids beside of you, I'd be bringing them to church. You know why? Look in verse 26. If we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment, fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. I'm going to tell you something else. The evidence of your salvation, when people never see you enter the church door, how much confidence do you think you have? Christ loved the church. He made the church. He commissioned the church. He commanded that we be part of the church. He commanded that we be baptized into the church. Therefore, that when we stand, we baptize someone, we say in obedience, command of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In other words, we are following his command. He set the example of being baptized. That wouldn't wash away sins. But we enter to his body. And so therefore, not only that, but we need to remember that God, that he wants us. It's for our safety that we have the church. And it's also for example that people would have confidence in us. Now look, if you would, and think about this before we close. What is a church? Well, to sinners. By the way, how many of you are saved in church? Let's see your hands. Now there's people who get saved outside of church, but the church has an influence in that salvation. But how many of us got saved in church?
That's why if I had lost children and loved ones, I would want them in the house of God. Not that they'll feel comfortable and not that they feel at home in the house of God, because they won't until they're saved. But you know, the work of the Savior is done in the church. He wanted to see sinners saved. That's why we preach the gospel, that they would get saved. Not only that, but also we saints need to witness and warn. The Bible says that we have been given a commission. We see what's down there. As we study the Word of God, we know what lies ahead for those who are not saved. We need to be blowing a trumpet, warning people of what lies there. And you know, people can tell when you're doing out of love and you're doing out of arrogance. They can tell the difference between that. And when someone sees that you love them enough to talk to them about their salvation and their soul, that can make an effect. But each of us, how many of us were saved in church? How much we need the church? How much we need to continue to support the church and be a part of the church? Not only that, as the word goes out, sinners have to make a decision. I remember one guy worked for me one time. I kept inviting him to church. He finally showed up a time or two. And he told me, he said, "I just feel too uncomfortable." He said, I said, what does it make you feel like? He said, "It makes me feel like I'm a sinner." I said, "That's exactly what you are." And I said, "You've got to heed the word of God." Well, he chose to run and reject. He wouldn't submit unto it. But it's also where we want them to understand the worth of a soul. And we want them to understand that their soul is more important than anything else they'll do in this life. And so the church is important to sinners. We have to love sinners. We have to do something for sinners that they don't understand to do for themselves. And we have to keep it up. I had some that said they want to go to a mission field, some young people. I was thinking the other day about calling Brother Caudle up in Canada and maybe taking a trip up there and letting them see the hostile inside of a mission field. They're very arrogant. And I can see America going in the same direction as Canada. They're very hard to reach. And it would do you good to be able to see. And also, when we think about the world, the church, I mean, just look out. This, most of us have never been very far. Now, I've been, and a few other people have been in mission fields, but many people never has. But just when you walk outside and look at the board over there, it ought to encourage your heart to know that I get letters from missionaries all the time, and I read those and I think, oh my goodness, we had a part in that. People being saved. Brother Marlin sent pictures the other day, and I mean he had a dozen people being baptized. I thought, oh boy, what a blessing. He in that river or sea, wherever he was at, and baptizing him, I thought, my, what a blessing to see him baptizing those things. But we were a part of that. We helped purchase the church. We gave him $1,000 to help purchase the property of the church, and we've supported him for several years. And each one of those goes on our account. He empowered us that we could go into Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, uttermost parts of the world. Our first mission field starts here, but it spreads on out. For the saint, this is a place that you are edified. It's a place where you're fed, as he was talking about the milk and the meat. This is a place where you grow. This is a place where you feast. You need that. If you don't come and you don't absorb and you don't get the Word of God, you don't get fed the Word of God, you get weak. And I know many of you have heard the example of the Indian chief when the missionary was trying to explain to him the flesh and the spirit, how they battle against each other. And he sat and he reasoned it for a while. And he said, well, it's like two dogs. The black dog's my flesh and the white dog's my spirit. He said, so whichever one I feed the most is what gets the strongest. And if I want my spirit to whip my flesh, I have to feed my flesh more, and then my spirit can whip the flesh. But if I feed the flesh more, then my flesh will start whipping the spirit, and I'll begin submitting unto the flesh. The church is for the saint. Nobody gets so saintly they don't need the church. We need the church. For the weary servant, it's a place of refreshment to come and let God, just like Elijah that time when he was weary and he laid down and the angel came and fed him and refreshed him for the journey. That's what God does for us here. Every now and then we get discouraged. Every now and then we get tired. But God has a way of refreshing us. And last but not least, it's a place for the sickly saint. I'm going to tell you, and Brother Eric was right, you get sick and weak out there. You get away from the house of God, get sick and weak, and the devil's going to come and he's going like that roaring lion. He's going to devour you. He loves. And so what we have to do is we have to bring the faint in, and we have to reassure the faint, and we have to restore the fallen. That's the purpose of the church. And everyone needs the church, from sinner to saint to the faint and the fallen. The church is very important. And in the day in which we've lived, we've lost the priority of the church and the purpose of the church. And they've turned the church into everything else except what it's supposed to be. And it's a place, folks, that we need. The Word of God is so instrumental. I don't know about you. I've got one in my pocket. Didn't ever think I'd bring a phone to church. But everywhere you go, you sit there in a crowd and you can't even talk to somebody. And I wonder sometimes, I wonder how much of this they're doing. When we starve ourselves here, the devil destroys us. And Jesus knew that we needed each other. And that's why he gave us the church. In heaven, we'll have the perfect church, without spot, without wrinkle, a glorious church. Here, we're just sinners saved by the grace of God, pilgrims passing through this old wicked, evil world and trying to help each other along the way. And that's why the church is so important for each and every one of us. Amen. Let's stand this morning. Maybe you're here this morning and you're not saved, and the Spirit of God is dealing with your heart to be saved. Today, if you hear his voice, I told the school the other day, sharing a scripture in chapel, I said, tomorrow is always the devil's time. Today is God. Today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. You know what Pharaoh told Moses? Tomorrow. Until Pharaoh hardened his heart. Therefore, he was no longer, and he ended up drowning in the midst of the Red Sea and going to hell. You know why? He listened to the devil saying, tomorrow. Hey, if you hear God dealing with your heart, you ought to come. Would you come? Maybe there's something else you need in your life. Maybe you need to come and join the church. Maybe you need to come be baptized. However God may lead you, would you come as we sing, Brother Jesse?